Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, we're talking about something pretty basic. I didn't realize even more important than trusts and wills is your power of attorney documents and making sure those are up to snuff. And you started a series yesterday about the financial power of attorney. And you're going to talk about some other documents that are very important today.
Yeah, and I'm not sure I would weight them as more important, but it is so critical to be properly updated and properly in your estate plan. So typically, there's one of two types of plans that someone may get when they deal with estate planning or when they deal with these things called documents for your life, which is – number one, we may do a will plan. So that's a will, should be a financial power of attorney, medical powers of attorney, and then end of life documents. But the same things are necessary even when we use a trust-based plan. So in a trust-based plan, you still need a will. It just blends with the trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we still need a financial power of attorney. We still need the medical and everything else. So yeah, last week we reviewed what a financial power of attorney does, why it's so important, that I actually created an entire firm process off of that one document. Mm. So you can head back to legacyandfaith.com, listen to last week's podcast about financial power of attorneys. They're very, very important. And it really allows someone to have access to all your different accounts. So when you use a will package, then it gives an open ability to get to all of your financial accounts. When you use a trust-based plan, provided that the attorney you used helped you get everything into your trust properly, then usually we're dealing with your retirement plans, your 401ks. But also, as we talked about last week, regardless of whether it's a will or trust plan, we still have credit cards, utilities, tax returns, potentially legal actions, Medicaid issues, and all these other things that need to be in a properly designed financial power of attorney in order for it to operate and have really every possibility covered with either a will and financial power of attorney or a trust and financial power of attorney.
So it sounds like this is kind of like almost like an introduction to estate planning, having these documents first and foremost.
Absolutely.
This is like the first step.
Yes. Well, and again, because they are with every single plan, it doesn't matter whether you get a will package or a trust package, these documents are still included. So they are necessary to manage our lifetimes. And that's really one of the differences. So a will is a death document, and it only turns on when you die. But all the other power of attorneys end at death. So it's like they flip. The will is waiting for you to die, but the power of attorneys manage you when you're alive. Now, that's different with a revocable living trust. A revocable living trust has – I mean, it's revocable living. The word living is in there. So it's a document utilized during your lifetime, but we still need the financial power of attorney because the trust doesn't manage every asset, nor does it give personal power. And so therefore, that's why the financial power of attorney – then, of course, we need healthcare documents, which is really what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of these other power of attorney documents. We always hear – like, you know, you're in a terrible accident and you need that end of life document.
Right.
How to handle that and who gets to make those decisions. That's a specific kind of document.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about four different major documents that every person needs as well. So we talked about financial power of attorney. So we got that covered. Now we're going to move into more of the managing your health documents. And there's actually four of them that are important.
Really?
So we have and we'll kind of go through these quickly in order here in today's show. Number one is we need a medical power of attorney. Then we need a mental health power of attorney. We need HIPAA authorization. So Health Information Portability Act. There's a another P that I've forgotten there someplace, but it doesn't matter. So access to your medical records. And then we have what you just referred to, an end-of-life document, also known as a living will. And so, so we need to talk about these. Now, let me start with this general premise. I have reviewed way too many documents that have your financial power of attorney, your healthcare power of attorney, your HIPAA document, and your end-of-life information all in one document.
Hmm.
Oy.
Really?
So
that's too much for one document.
Oh, my goodness. No. Well, they're different sets of law. So my point of view, and this is fine. This is where you can get two attorneys into the room and they can argue all day long of why one way is better or why one document will work just like another document will. Heck, I can look at myself in the mirror and argue with myself. So I don't even need a second attorney to argue. But I don't like having all of these squished into one document. Here's one thought is, do you know people with different strengths and talents? Yes. Do you have children? So let's say that you are going to name your children as the individuals that are going to help you in these roles. Or if you don't have children, a friend. One friend may have great skill set with finances, but that same friend may not be as compassionate as someone else who may not have any medical background and who may not have the fortitude to deal with medical decisions. So if you make one document, how do you split up these critical roles to different people instead of creating different documents? So in my system, we create a financial power of attorney. We create a medical, mental, HIPAA, and also a living will, an end-of-life document. All of these are separated documents instead of being trying to squish them into one all-encompassing document that is covering everything all in one fell swoop. Number one, they're not specific enough. They don't give sufficient powers. They're too general, and they do not allow the client to be as specific as what they want. So therefore, I believe that they need to be broken up. They should be separate documents, not all combined into one, as to try to cover both financial and medical. Okay, so there's a starting premise. I've seen way too many squished into one as if that can resolve all of life's problems. That's not the way it works. So because we have different subsections of law covering different areas, then I make them into different documents. So a healthcare, we'll start in these orders. So the healthcare power of attorney, what does that do? Well, it does what you probably think it does, which is it allows an individual to make medical decisions when you are unable to. When are you unable to make medical decisions? Well, if I was in a bad accident, rolled into ER, and I'm not conscious and someone else needs to make that decision, that critical decision of what to do or what not to do, then that voice of authority needs to be heard by the doctors in order to say yay or nay. Now, in the medical, at least what I have heard and what I have found, I am not an MD. I am not a medical doctor. So if you're I have multiple clients that are in that field. And so I've had a lot of conversations, but I'm still not an MD. So therefore, what I have seen or what I have heard is that most of the time, if you are taking the advice of the doctor in front of you, then they're going to look holistically at who's in the room. Is a spouse in the room? Are children in the room? They're going to find the person with the greatest amount of authority over that person, even without a healthcare power of attorney. And if the doctors or if the family is moving in the direction to say, yes, we believe that's in whoever is sitting on the table, their best interest, there's going to be very little resistance. And in most scenarios, you're never going to be asked for a medical power of attorney. Until you raise up and say, that's not what they would want. We don't want that procedure. We don't want that medication. We don't want that surgery. Or we want to check that person out of the hospital and take them home against doctor's orders. Mm. Now we have a conflict because now we're moving against what the course of action is, the medical course of action. And at that point, there's a much higher likelihood that they are going to say, great, show me the legal authority that I can now release the client and let them go home against our orders, or not do that procedure when that's the what we believe is medically best for them. So the medical power of attorney is actually a document that many times is never sought for. It's never requested because many individuals simply are going in line and in step with the medical advice that is being given. But where does it become critical to have this instrument? It becomes critical if you are going to raise up your hand and say, stop, that's not what I want for my spouse, for my child, for the person that I'm caring for. And so a medical power of attorney is going to give you the authority then to direct doctors, to fire doctors, to hire them, to implement do not resuscitate, to check out of hospitals against doctor's orders, and do a myriad of different powers and different things that are in that patient's best interest according to your viewpoint instead of a doctor's viewpoint. So this is a very important document that every person should have because, again, I just don't know when we're going to have a medical emergency that is going to put someone in the hospital. And then if you have very strong opinions about medications, you would rather use naturopathic remedies instead of pharmaceutical remedies, and you would prefer to use different types of medical procedures instead of traditional ones, boy, this document is going to be really, really important for you then, because if someone is going to have the legal authority to direct the care that you need in alignment with what your values are, then we need this medical power of attorney.
Okay, medical power of attorney, but now moving on to the mental health power of attorney. This is a separate document? This is a separate issue.
Yeah, it is a very separate issue. And as a matter of fact, over the past years, since COVID and more loneliness and people restricted, it seems like there was something done and there's more younger kids dealing with mental health issues. It hurts my heart. It has to hurt our Heavenly Father's heart to see the pain and the agony that some of our youth are going through and our 20-year-old are going through. I look back at my teen and 20-year-olds, and I just think that there's a whole litany of things that they deal with nowadays that were never at my doorstep. And so, yes, a mental health power of attorney is a separate document because it's a different statute. So in the mental health statute, there are a bunch of different questions that need to be asked that are not found in the healthcare. So I kind of explain it like this. The healthcare power of attorney is for things that we can fix on the body. It's to cast it. It's to make a surgery. It's what we typically think in healthcare. But the mental health is really driven off of two things. If my thought life is not under complete control, or if my emotional life is not under complete control.
Would this kick in then, say, somebody attempted suicide and now they're trying
definitely.
To figure out what to do?
Yeah, absolutely.
They weren't successful, but...
Yeah, and there could be a medical component to that is physical to their body, but certainly that would go into the mental health arena. And then also the other area that catches a lot of people by surprise is when we start having memory issues. So when you get a little bit older and all of a sudden the car keys are in the refrigerator instead of on the counter like usual, and you can't remember things quite as well, that's nothing we can put you on the operating table for and figure it out. So memory issues tend to be mental health issues as well. And so we may need this mental health power of attorney versus the healthcare. Now, I kind of double up in that I make sure that there is some language for mental health in the healthcare power of attorney as well, because oftentimes agents forget that there's two different documents. But nonetheless, two different statutes, they're accomplishing different purposes. There's different questions within those statutes. So therefore, in my system, we create two different documents to accompany both of them.
Okay, looking at documents, power of attorney documents today on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. People want to find out more about your services. How do they do that, Paul?
Yeah, I would love to talk to you. Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, and ways to communicate with us. And it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, this week we're looking at power of attorney documents, healthcare power of attorney on today's show. We already talked about financial power of attorney, medical power of attorney for a segment, kind of getting into the mental health power of attorney documents. Mike, I'm curious, you said on the financial power of attorney stuff, that stuff needs to be reviewed every 3 years or
right.
Updated every 3 years.
Yep.
Is that what happens with healthcare ones as well?
Yeah, great question. There's a couple documents that that are a little more steady than the financial world. So when financial institutions have a high fiduciary duty to manage your money and safeguard your money, they're going to be a little more persnippety. And of course, we want that with the financial power of attorney. So a will, for example, a will document, and then your healthcare power of attorney. It's kind of like God's grace. God is not looking to disqualify us. He's looking at ways to extend his grace to us. Isn't that a nice thing to know? And that's really what we're trying to do with a will and with a healthcare power of attorney. We're looking for ways to keep them upheld, not a way to disqualify them. And because the law knows that a lot of people, unfortunately, do not update these. You've mentioned the statistic for me on many different shows, which is less than half of those over the age of 65 have any of these documents prepared. And I don't know what the number is for the half that do of how old they are, but on average, people walk in with 20-year-old documents in my office.
Interesting.
So if someone were to die with a very old will, the court is looking at how do we honor this instead of how do we disqualify it. Same thing with a healthcare power of attorney. Typically, what I see is that the legislative body does not want to change wills or healthcare power of attorney statutes all that often because there are older documents out there. And again, we want to uphold them. So I update them in my system every 3 years, yes, because we're already in the process of updating the financial, the trust. And we're going to be updating the healthcare power of attorney as well. The same philosophy is true, which is if someone sees a power of attorney, financial, medical, end of life, and it is signed sooner than later, that gives them a greater confidence that this was actually meeting the person's intent instead of having a large gap of intent or that there's another document floating out there that they don't know of. So therefore, it's always better to keep everything updated. But those, the will, the healthcare power of attorney, again, we're looking to uphold them. We're not looking to disqualify them in law. So we need them definitively, but maybe not the same. I didn't make the decisions around healthcare, but power of decisions for every 3 years. It came from the financial institutions.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Anything else on the mental health,
you know,
power of attorney, or
just
moving
that,
on to HIPAA?
That it should be a part of every healthcare power of attorney. And because it's becoming such a bigger issue in society, that statute is being updated more often. And
people
so,
living longer, getting dementia more often.
Yes, and mental health
anxiety
just,
and depression,
oh,
I think,
gosh,
is the number one diagnosed health issue.
Yeah, I believe it. And so, and just when we have homeless issues, and that is a bigger societal issue, if you just drive down I-5 in Seattle, we can see it's front and center. So all these things around mental health are becoming a bigger and bigger issue in society. And so really, we do need this updated. And it's just important for the younger generation to have these things in place. And if there's any reason to get college students and their 20-year-olds a will package, this would be it. So that we have the ability to help them should they have any difficulties. Because again, we're just I didn't experience and see as many friends walk through these issues. A lot of it probably rests in social media and just how they're bombarded. But all of that aside, I'll let other professionals determine why. I just know that it's becoming a bigger issue. So so even will packages for younger individuals is more necessary now than ever.
Okay, the HIPAA power of attorney.
Yeah, yeah. So
HIPAA again means what?
Yeah, so it's the Health and Information Portability Act. Okay. And there's another P I'm forgetting. I can't remember it for some reason. Now I've forgotten it twice today, but that's okay. And really what it is it's access to your medical records. So and it's a very narrow document, actually. People want to make this document have more power than what it is, but it's really directed towards medical professionals only who hold your records. That's the limited function of it. Mm. But they have certain federal guidelines of how to release the documents for health that they are managing. So it's a federal law, and I like to have a separate document because if it is in a power of attorney, then typically what that power of attorney is saying, so let's say it's in a healthcare power of attorney. That healthcare power of attorney is going to say, if I cannot make a decision, then listen to somebody else. So in other words, I've got to wait to get medical records until that person can't make a decision. That could be too late. We may need their medical records sooner than later in order to find out what is going on in their
right,
health.
Right.
And so I like a standalone document that gives legal access to medical records without a deadline, without the necessity for the individual that I'm trying to help to be, quote unquote, incapacitated or unable to make their own decision. So I think that there's actually a pretty big gap in most medical power of attorneys. And again, sometimes it's even found in the financial power of attorney, which makes no sense to my brain. Mm. But that those documents are oftentimes governed by if you are incapacitated or if you can't make a decision, then listen to somebody else. Mm. So if we need medical records, we want them sooner than later. So therefore, my system, we create a standalone document that gives the same agents as our healthcare, we give them the power to go get our medical records without problem.
Okay, and then the end of life power of attorney.
Yes, yeah.
Is that what it's called? What is it actually?
Yeah, that's
called
a living will.
Living will.
Yep,
okay.
Living will. And so my documents tend to be much more narrow, but this document is, in essence, if you have an incurable injury, disease, or illness, you're rendered permanently unconscious and death is imminent.
Is the DNR part of that, the do not resuscitate?
It can be. It can be a part of this document, but it can also be found in the healthcare power of attorney.
Right.
So, yes, it's definitely a part of this document. But then we would ask, if you were on life support and you met this definition, There's no medical knowledge that can help you anymore. And death is going to be imminent. If you are on life support, how long would you want to remain on life support? And the gamut's everywhere. It's from 0 days to 30 days. I've had people think about doing multiple months of being on life support. So typically, someplace between a zero and a couple of weeks would be kind of what people would think about. But that, you know, whatever anyone else, I get this question, what do other people do? It doesn't matter. It's not their body. We're asking you. Now, this document is really important because what this is doing is it's taking the pressure off of your family to make a decision that if you are in an end-of-life circumstance, that someone else doesn't have to make that decision for you. You have a document that has clearly stated, if I am in this circumstance, this is how I want you to respond. And so now they don't make the decision. They are simply following your desires. I have talked to many people who have needed to make this decision on behalf of a parent, and years and years and years later, they still struggle. Was that the right decision? Mm-hmm. That's what we want to remove. We want to remove that little bit of inroad to somebody's guilty conscience, to that tender part of their spirit that says, did I make the right decision? Take that off of them, please. This is such an important document. Mm. If there's any reason to get estate planning, do it for other people. Mm. It's best to take care of you with these documents, but do it for someone else. Mm-hmm. Do it so that you can protect your wealth to the next generation. Do it so that the person who needs to stand alongside of you as you are struggling has all the power and clear documents and updated documents to be able to operate in the authority that they need to, whether it's with their finances or whether your health. And do it because of this one decision, which is if you are in an end-of-life decision, don't make someone else make that decision for you. Help your family out and remove any long-term question of doubt that may linger with them. Help them out. Help your family out. That's what estate planning is about.
Estate planning, power of attorney documents, so important a part of that. And you like the way Paul approaches this subject. How do people find out more about your services, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us and get in contact, all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.